Okay, so let's begin on page 29, a new concept, and that of Mashiach. Mashiach, that is going to be our topic for the next few classes that we're going to go through. And let's begin with the word itself, because it is a name that is thrown out a lot. So let's see, first of all, what it actually means. All right. What does that word actually mean? Is it a name? Is it a title? What does the word Mashiach actually mean? Anybody know?
Can it be a name?
Hmm? It can be a name, yes. Yes, it is also my Hebrew name, yes. There are certain communities that use that name. That is correct. But I'm not the Mashiach. Let me be very clear with that. It can be a name, but it won't be the name of Mashiach, by the way. We'll see later on there are actually four possible names of Mashiach, of which Mashiach is an acronym of those four possible names. We'll come to that a little bit later. What is the word Mashiach? A description of what?
Of a person.
Not a description of a person,
of,
no.
Of
they actually mean something. It's mentioned in the Torah itself, referring to a Kohen, anointed. Very, very good. The actual word Mashiach means anointed one. Okay, what does that mean, anointed? Who is anointed, why, and with what? Who is anointed with why and with what? What does anoint mean?
Oil.
Doesn't mean oil. That's what you use. It means to pour oil. They used to pour oil on someone's head. King. That's correct. They would pour oil. There was a process of pouring oil on the head of the king as he was coronated, as he was entered into kingship. Okay? No, baptizing is not a Jewish thing. That they that's when they right. Yeah, they probably where they got it from. They probably got it from us. But it's a Jewish concept, we know that. And the kings, the Malachim, part of the process of becoming king was to go through this ceremony where they would pour oil on their heads. That's what every king went through. So the fact that this individual is called Mashiach means quite simply that this person is king. There is something in Jewish history called kingship. We have kings that go through Jewish history. So this individual, as we're going to see, one of the criteria, we're going to see a list of a bunch of criteria, six, some say eight, and we're going to go through them and we're going to learn them and memorize them as well for our final exam, that a person has to be a king. Well, how are you king? What makes a person a king? They have to be from a certain tribe. What tribe do they come from? The tribe of Yehuda. Right, the tribe of Judah, okay? The tribe of Judah. So we know that this individual, we're going to see it's going to be a time and a person. We're going to speak about the time a little bit, then we'll talk about the person. That the time is important, but so is the individual. And it will be an individual. And this person has to be from the tribe of Yehuda, of Judah, and a direct descendant of all the other kings, going all the way back to the first king from the tribe of Yehuda, who was who? David HaMelech, right. Now, David HaMelech was not the first king, right? Shaul was the first king, but he wasn't from that tribe. He was the tribe of Benjamin, Binyamin, very, very good. From Binyamin. But David HaMelech was the tribe of Yehuda, so that's why we refer to Mashiach ben David. Ben doesn't mean a direct son, right? We mean a descendant of. So number one criteria, which we're going to go through, in order to be Mashiach, is you've got to prove that you are a direct descendant, Ben Acha, from King David. There have been people through history who were able to do that, right? Through various stations along the way. We're going to see the Maharal of Prague, right? If a person can get themselves back to the Maharal of Prague, which wasn't that long ago, which many people are able to do. And then Maharal of Prague had a direct descendancy from Rashi, and Rashi supposedly had a descendancy from King David. So there are various ways that a person is able to find their yichus all the way back. But in order to be the Mashiach, you're going to have to do that. So the Mashiach itself is to anoint. Okay, so as soon as you see that word, you know that a person was anointed. So, what's his name? What's his name going to be? So the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. It says, actually, the word Mashiach is four letters. I'm going to have to try to remember this. And one possible name is Menachem, right? Menachem. Menachem is one name, says the Gemara. The other is, which also mentions the Torah, Shiloh. Shiloh is another name. And some people say these actual names. There are some that say these are certain attributes, but the Gemara does say the possible name of the Mashiach. One possibility is Menachem, one is Shiloh. I think his one is Yonun. I have to look into it again. I think Yonun is another one, and the last one is Hanan, I think. Hanun, I have to look into that as well. I think Hanan something. I have to look that up. All right, but it's four. I'll look that up exactly for you. Four possible names of Mashiach. You know what? Someone can look that up for me as a good homework assignment. A Gemara. The Gemara talks about this. I haven't seen the Gemara in a while. I'm going to look it up for you. Okay? So the word Mashiach means to anoint. That is the process. The person becomes a king, because we know King David, the Mashiach, will be a direct descendant, and we will have kingship. And actually, a lot of what we're going to learn in the coming classes is going to focus on the Rambam, because the Rambam is actually the one who goes into detail discussing all the laws and attributes of Mashiach. The Rambam is going to do that. And in which chapter of Mishnah Torah does he do it? Would you think? Hilchot Malachim, Laws of Kings. And that's when he goes into, and we're learning a lot of that inside, God willing, that's where he goes through in the Laws of Kings and Paskins, gives his legal definition of what the idea of Mashiach is. So on page 30, we see that, and we've already touched upon this, that the world is made up of various phases. We have the area of Mashiach, right? Yemos HaMashiach, which we're going to focus on. We have Olam Haba, the afterlife. And we have the world of resurrection, Tchias HaMesim. Okay? So we're now on the first of those three. Really, the Gemara says the world of resurrection, we don't have too much. We just look at the verses we're going to look at. The prophets couldn't see that. No eye has seen, the Gemara says. So it's hard for us to put too much into that. But when it comes to Mashiach, there's a lot written on it. And there's a lot to discuss about it as well.
Is it a person?
So we're going to see, God willing, next class, that it's a time as well as an individual. It's a time as well as an individual. There is, we talk about also, it's a process. And there's a lot of metaphors we'll look at, right? Like Chevli Mashiach, which is the process until we get to the individual who represents the time. Yeah?
Oh, I just looked it up. It's Hanina.
Hanina. Thank you so much. Yeah, is that right? Hanina. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. We'll stop over there. We'll pick this up next class, God willing. And good to see you all back.